Suddenly the raindrops came down so large and thick that he took to his heels and rushed, wildly bewildered, along the Quai de la Grève. But on reaching the Pont Louis-Philippe, he pulled up, ragefully breathless. He considered this fear of the rain to be idiotic, and so amid the pitch-like darkness, under the lashing shower which drowned the gas jets, he crossed the bridge slowly, with his hands dangling by his sides. He had only a few more steps to go. As he was turning onto the Quai de Bourbon on the Île de Saint-Louis, a sharp flash of lightning illumined the straight, monotonous line of old houses bordering the narrow road in front of the Seine. It blazed upon the panes of the high, shutterless windows, showing up the melancholy frontages of the old-fashioned dwellings in all their details. Here a stone balcony, there the railing of a terrace, and there a garland sculptured on a frieze. The painter had his studio close by, under the eaves of the old Hôtel du Martois, nearly at the corner of the Rue de la Femme Sans Tête. So he went on while the quay, after flashing forth for a moment, relapsed into darkness, and a terrible thunderclap shook the drowsy quarter. When Claude, blinded by the rain, got to his door, a low rounded door studded with iron, he fumbled for the bell knob, and he was exceedingly surprised, indeed he started, on finding a living, breathing body huddled against the woodwork. Then, by the light of a second flash, he perceived a tall young girl dressed in black and drenched already, who was shivering with fear. When a second thunderclap had shaken both of them, Claude exclaimed, "You frightened me. Who are you, and what do you want?" He could no longer see her. He only heard her sob and stammer.
"Oh, monsieur, don't hurt me. It is the fault of the driver I hired at the station, and who left me at this door after ill-treating me. Yes, a train ran off the rails near Nevers. We were 4 hours late, and the person who was to wait for me had already gone. Oh, dear me, I've never been to Paris before, and I don't know where I am."
Another blinding flash cut her short, and with wide eyes she stared, terror-stricken, at that part of the strange capital, that violet-tinted apparition of a nightmare city. The rain had ceased. On the opposite bank of the Seine was the Quai des Ormes, with its small grey houses, variegated below by the woodwork of their shops and with their irregular roofs boldly outlined above, while the horizon suddenly became clear on the left, as far as the blue-slate eaves of the Hôtel de Ville, and on the right, as far as the leaden-hued dome of Saint-Paul. What startled her most of all, however, was the hollow of the stream, the deep gap in which the Seine flowed, black and turgid, from the heavy piles of the Pont-Marie to the light arches of the new Pont-Louis-Philippe. Strange masses peopled the river, a sleeping flotilla of small boats and yawls, a floating washhouse and a dredger moored to the quay. Then, farther down, against the other bank, were barges, laden with coals, and barges full of millstone, dominated, as it were, by the gigantic arm of a steam crane. But suddenly everything disappeared again. Claude had an instinctive distrust of women. That story of an accident, of a belated train and a brutal cabman, seemed to him a ridiculous invention. "Nonsense," thought Claude. "It is clear what she is, a trollop thrown out on the street and looking for a man." At the second thunderclap, the girl had shrunk farther still into her corner, absolutely terrified. "But you can't stop here all night," he said. She sobbed even more and stammered,
"I beg you, monsieur, take me to Passy. That's where I was going, Passy."
He shrugged his shoulders. Did she take him for a fool? Mechanically, however, he turned towards the Quai de Célestin, where there was a cab stand, not the faintest glimmer of a lamp to be seen. "To Passy, my dear, why not Versailles? Where do you think you can pick up a cab at this time of night and in such weather?" Her only answer was a shriek, for a fresh flash of lightning had almost blinded her, and this time the tragic city had seemed to her to be spattered with blood. An immense chasm had been revealed, the two arms of the river stretching far away amidst the lurid flames of a conflagration. The smallest details had appeared, the little closed shutters of the Quai des Ormes and the two openings of the Rue de la Mesure and the Rue de Pont Blanc, which made breaks in the line of frontages.